This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell! Man, how are you doing tonight?
Doing good, man. Doing good. You know, just living life.
Just doing the things? Doing the... What's up?
Just too soon?
Living life? Wow! I feel like you just did the vocal equivalent of Grant standing over Oliver Queen's the tombstone. Actually, I'm sure it exists. I meant to actually check before we started recording, but I'm sure someone has already like filled in the tombstone with frost.
Yeah, I've seen one.
Oh my gosh, that should probably be the cover art for this episode. Yes. So he's Bell, I'm Bo. Okay, look, here's the deal. Let's get this out of the way first. So we were not here last week. I was traveling. Bell had some traveling up and coming, and anyway, just wasn't a great week. So hopefully y'all were able to enjoy some of the minis that I was able to put out. But yes, we are back with Flash TV Talk this week. We are doing two episodes at the same time. So this is gonna be what we're gonna try to attempt here. And I think actually this works out really well because both of these episodes kind of fit nicely together. You really can't have one without the other. And so I think it'll be good. I did do kind of my initial reactions to Death Falls last week as part of kind of a mini Flash TV Talk. And so, man, I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on that episode. But before we get into it, we got to let everybody know that we are only here because of the amazing support of our patrons over at patreon.com/TV Talk. If you'd like to help make this show happen, head over there. That's patreon.com/TV Talk. All right, man, you ready to get into it?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's jump into the rundown. Episode 13 and 14 of season 8, Death Falls and Funeral for a Friend. Bell, what happened this episode?
You mean these episodes?
I do.
Well, Team Flash must fight off an emotional attack from Deathstorm to save Caitlin. Barry is confronted by everyone he's ever lost all at once. And Frost makes the ultimate sacrifice to defeat Deathstorm. Next episode, Team Flash struggles to adjust to Frost's absence. Allegra and Cecile join Flash in the field to stop Blockbuster, a bank robber who stole a powerful exosuit from Ivo Labs, but failed to detain him, and he flees with untraceable cloaking technology. Iris struggles with writing Frost's obituary, though she is able to collect some stories from the public about Frost's positive impact. While Chester and Allegra argue over the right way to honor Frost, Mark gets immensely drunk at O'Shaughnessy's. Barry completes every item on Frost's bucket list. And after being convinced by Barry to go to the funeral, Caitlin realizes that Frost's voice lives on in her. Caitlin brings Mark to her apartment and resolves to bring back Frost. That night, after discussing Flash's new allies in the field with Taylor at CCC Media following Blockbuster's defeat, Iris vanishes in a green light.
Dun, dun, dun.
Doo-loo-loo-loo-loo.
All right, man. So like I said, people kind of heard my initial reactions, and having had some time to think about it, I don't really have that much to add to it. So I'm mostly really interested to hear what was your thoughts from Death Falls. I mean, I know, you know, we got a lot to talk about with this episode, and it'll probably all just blend together. But what was your kind of initial reactions to, you know, the fall of Deathstorm, to the death of Killer Frost? How did that episode hit you? Just overall, man, what do you think?
I kind of feel like they did Frost dirty, man.
I mean,
it was, you know, I kind of thought of a more sort of heroic ending for her, as opposed to, like, you know, defeating him and then she's like, oh, I'm dead. I thought it was gonna be like a thing where, like, you know, she's absorbing this energy and it was something like, you know, she can't contain it, and then, you know, she decides to, like, fly up into the atmosphere and blow herself up and gives, like, a send off where everybody, you know, telling everybody how much she loves him and, like, you know, keep partying and doing all this cool stuff, and then she explodes or something. I don't know. Maybe I watched too much superhero stuff, but it just I don't know. It felt kind of weird, just, you know, to have her. Her frost healing's not kick. It sort of, I don't know. It kind of, I don't want to say cheap, but it just felt like they didn't do her right.
Cheap. That's a good word for it. I think that's a really good word for it. I think that was a cheap death, man. I do.
Yeah.
Like she's not like, we don't lose an actor, right? Cause we still have the same number of cast members here. She is of the two characters played by that one. It's kind of like losing a Harrison Wells to some extent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except I feel like even like most Harrison Wells's get more consistent development and are less background characters than Frost has been. Frost is is arguably has been historically kind of a sub tier character in the background. And then on top of that, like, you know, she's played by, you know, like somebody who's playing one of the main characters. It's just an interesting cheap. I think it's a cheap death. That is a great way to put it, Bill. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. I thought going into this that the end result was going to be Caitlin dying and Frost stepping in. And we have, you know, Frost being fleshed out, and we get more of like an arc with her and a story with her, because we had a bunch of, you know, arcs with Caitlin, and, you know, like you said, we didn't really have a lot of development with Frost because she's been kind of like a background sort of character. And so I thought this was an opportunity. Like, I thought maybe, you know, Caitlin was going to maybe make the sacrifice play and be the bodyguard for Frost, and then she was going to die, and then Frost would be taking over her spot kind of on Team Flash. That was how I thought, like, going into the episode and taking the episodes prior into consideration. That's kind of thought, that's sort of how I thought they were going to do it. And they didn't. I was like, why are you gonna, why you have a character that you can flesh out, that you can write stories around, that you can, you know, give more agency to, and instead you just kill her off.
Well, and they kept on talking about how Frost, like, oh, you know, she was created to protect Katie. She's got to protect Katie. She's Katie's bodyguard, while also having kind of this narrative like, no, you're your own person. But like, then she kind of goes out on that, like, you know, keep Summer safe mindset. And it's like one of these things where, you know, by the time that it actually goes down, you're like, okay, well, wouldn't it have been more powerful if in the end, Caitlin sacrificed herself to save Frost.
Yeah.
Like, communicating even stronger that Frost is a legitimate person.
Yeah.
Has value. And it's not just this like weird thing that was created by her father to save her sister. Like, that would have been a much better arc for the character and left us with a comic book relevant character more so than Caitlin. But yeah, what are you thinking?
Yeah. It just, like you said, they mentioned all this stuff about how, like, you know, oh, I'm just a bodyguard that was built for Caitlin, blah, 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 blah. And then everybody's like, no, you're not. You're a real person. And, like, you know, you are, like, the whole sentient thing where it was like, right, you know, maybe Deathstorm is preying on that to, you know, prevent her from leveling up or whatever. And we see that she does have consciousness. She is this person. And And then for them to be like, and your whole personage and all the stuff that you amount to is just saving Caitlin. Sorry, bye. I know we spent a lot of episodes and a lot of emotional, you know, arcs, you know, reassuring you that you are, in fact, important, that you are, in fact, a real person and that we all care about you. But instead, we're just going to kill you and, you know, have, I guess, an evil Caitlin arc coming up.
I guess. I mean, we'll get to that a little bit later on in the episode for sure. But that seemed odd to me. It really did. I walked away from that just feeling, not at all feeling the emotional weight. And to some extent, kind of not looking forward to this week's episode because I suspected, going into this week's episode that we would see a lot of forced emotion and a lot of forced connection between these characters. And we're going to see a lot of like, oh, we had this amazing relationship off screen. Yeah. And I feel like, man, this series, for the vast majority of it, like in the back half of this series, so much of the character development has happened off screen. I know that this was a common joke back in the Smallville days. Everybody talked about it. Oh, it must have happened off Screenville. You know, it either happened in Smallville or off Screenville.
Yeah, because so, we have 8 seasons of interactions with Caitlin that we could have drawn from to make an extremely emotional send off to her character. And we still get to keep Danielle Panabaker, and she gets to play this other character that you know, people like and that I enjoyed, right?
Yeah.
Almost more so in recent seasons than Caitlin.
Well, yes. I'm not wrong in saying that, am I right?
I've enjoyed Frost more than Caitlin in these last couple seasons, and I just don't know what else they're going to do with Caitlin, and I don't know. Like, if I was in the writers' room, I'd be like, guys, come on, this is a golden opportunity. What else can we do with Caitlin? There's so much. I mean, maybe there is stuff. Yeah, sure. There's arcs that we could go down, but there's so much more we could do with Frost than we can with Caitlin, and we still get to keep Danielle, and that's the big thing, right? It's not like they're if Killer Frost was played by another actor or actress, you know, that's one thing, right? Like, we're going to keep Danielle because she's been here the longest, but they're played by that same person.
Okay. So here's another thing. I mean, to make another comparison with another show. All right. So I know you've been watching Buffy. Did you watch Angel?
No, I'm probably not going to watch Angel. So you can say whatever you want about it.
Okay. Well, I mean, I won't spoil anything, but suffice to say that in the last season of that show, they do something where they, a character gets killed off and possessed by an entirely different character. Okay. And what ends up happening is much like what we saw here, you essentially have the same actress. It's just now she's playing an entirely different character. I mean, it was entirely different. And the death of that character, and then the subsequent kind of funeral-esque dealing with the aftermath, so to speak, like, that was intense and emotional. I was sad. I was mourning the loss of that character, even though we still have the exact same actress. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like the actress is gone. The character died, and I felt it. And man, like, the, you know, and even with this new character that they were portraying, which was, you know, much more powerful and everything else. Again, I don't want to spoil anything, but suffice to say, like, you kind of adjust to this character, but man, it makes you miss the one that died.
Yeah.
So much. And it was powerful. They could have done that here. I wish they would have done that. I think it would have developed Frost a lot more, given her, like, really this way to completely self-differentiate from Katie while also dealing with, you know, legitimate grief along with that. And I think the impact on the team, you know, when Joe's like, I'm taking a painting class because Frost told me to do that. I'm like, when, Joe?
Yeah.
Where have you been? Okay. Well,
I mean, like at least Iris was like, you know, honest enough to be like, I didn't really know her that well.
Yes, I appreciated that. Yeah. That was the most honest thing that anybody said, any of these characters said. Like, I was like, that right there. Thank you, Iris. Exactly.
Yeah. I was like, you know, applauding the writer's room there. It's like, thanks. At least somebody gets it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And I was just like, come on. Like, because the impact of losing Caitlin on the team would be so much greater. And like, and again, like you said, this would be an opportunity to differentiate Frost because, like, the reason she was created, Caitlin has died. And so now she has to form her own self. She has to be her own person. And it would have, I don't know. I feel like it would have just been so much better to have the roles reversed there and Caitlin sacrificed herself for Frost, because it brings an end to that whole, you were designed to be her bodyguard. And it's, and Caitlin's like, no, I'm going to save you because,
yeah,
you know, yeah. Like, I mean, it would just been poetic. It would have been great. It would have been opened up all these opportunities to further, you know, dive into Frost's character and build her up. And I didn't like it. The whole blockbuster scene at the beginning where, you know, Chester's like, okay, and Frost, and you do this. And everybody's like, oh no, Frost is dead. I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the blockbuster thing real quick though. Cause that since you brought that up, this, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is the first time we've seen Cecile in the field.
This is the first time we've seen Cecile in the field with no type of, facial protection or anything. I mean, granted, Allegra doesn't either.
Yeah.
I mean, could you at least put on a domino mask or something? I don't know. I mean,
What bothered me about Diggle. Whenever Diggle in the vast majority of Arrow episodes early on would like show up with Oliver Queen, and I'm like, dude, why does Diggle not have a mask? Like you're here in like full Robin Hood gear, and this dude can't even get like a domino mask. Like, what's up? Like, that's ridiculous.
I mean, Flash talks about running facial recognition scans for like various bad metas. It's like, I'm sure other people or other places have that technology. CCPD could just be like, that's really weird. The, you know, former prosecutor turned defender of metas is now a vigilante.
I was about to say, wasn't she like a DA or something like that?
She's the DA. It's like, what is going on?
That's going to be a problem.
I mean, I get people not recognizing Allegra. Totally get that. You know, she was a criminal at some point. Maybe she popped up in the news at some point or another. But Cecile, I mean, come on. Like,
Right.
She's been in CCPD like all the time. And I mean, you know, obviously the CCPD is working with Flash. They understand that, yes, he is a vigilante, but, you know, they have this working relationship because he's helping them stop very bad people. It's not like a, you know, early Batman situation where people are like, we got to get this vigilante dude because he's crazy. It's, you know, but still, you were the DA. You are now a defense attorney for Metas. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe conflict of interest.
You're exactly right. Yes. Like I agree wholeheartedly. That being said, man, was cool to see her out in the field. And I have to admit, like, is she, correct me if I'm wrong, I think she is the only superhero grandmother that we've ever had, right?
Yes, I think you're correct on the show, at least. That, yeah,
I think that's right. I mean,
well,
you could
except
argue,
for Grandma Esther.
Well, we don't know about.
She's
Grandma
a superhero
Esther's
backstory. In her own right.
Shoot, to us, that's true.
She's a superhero in our hearts, if nowhere else.
yes. I'm still waiting for that tie-in webcomic of Grandma Esther as a superheroic CIA agent back in the day.
Yeah.
I'm still mad that Legends never actually connected with Grandma Esther. That was a missed opportunity.
So many missed opportunities.
Well, anyway, so but no, I think she is, and if you're thinking like, when grandmother, she's a grandmother. Yes, of course, she's a grandmother. No, granted, the kids haven't been born yet, but they keep popping up left and right, so it counts. It counts.
Yeah, it counts. It does count. I think it counts. But yeah, you know, and how funny would it be if, like, you know, you know, Blockbuster, they obviously caught him off screen this episode, which is very, like, super super exciting to see that fight go down. That was amazing. But how funny would it be, right? So Blockbuster, he's arrested, you know, he's arraigned or whatever, and he's given a public defender, and it's Cecile.
No conflict of interest whatsoever.
He's anything? Like, wait a second, I've seen you somewhere. Oh yeah, you were the meta that helped arrest me. I don't know. I want a new lawyer.
right. Especially after Cecile gave that whole spiel about like Caitlin helping to recognize the, you know, like that metas need a fair trial and you know, for all these wrongly accused metas and everything, a more fair justice system. Hang on, let me beat this guy up and then go and try to represent.
I mean, it'd be like Matt Murdock, like, you know, just wearing, like, going out of court and immediately to Hell's Kitchen to, like, beat up bad guys.
Ooh, yeah. Well,
and it's like, wait a second, hold on.
Yeah, that did happen, though, so.
Well, that is true.
Yeah, that did happen. Okay, but anyway, conflicts of interest notwithstanding. I do think that it would be cool if she got a mask. If we're going to keep Cecile as a meta, And maybe that's it. Maybe we lost Frost as a meta so that we can get Cecile gets bumped up to on the roster. That's certainly what it felt like this episode. She just needs a super suit. Let's get her a super suit.
Yes, let's do that.
Yes.
Because you already have somebody at the Central City Citizen Media who's like, who's this new person that's helping Flash? She's not wearing a costume. It's going to be real easy to find out who she is.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, it's like, she might just look at the picture and be like, you say that nobody's going to recognize Allegra, but I think it's going, wait, that's my boss.
Oh my gosh, you're right. You're absolutely right. Like, so, you know, the two people that she's curious about that are helping Team Flash are one, her boss, and two, the former district attorney. So yeah, that's not going to be very hard to dig into there and investigate.
and we are introduced to this idea, right? Like, I don't think we've ever really addressed this notion of the security or the privacy of the, you know, other members of Team Flash before. So, you know, the fact that that was kind of introduced by Iris, and you know, kind of the Snoopy reporter, I forgot her name, that wants to uncover everybody. That sounds like that might be a little bit of a problem. And maybe, Belle, maybe what they are doing is setting up specifically this idea that, you know, Allegra needs a legitimate superhero name, and Cecile needs a legitimate superhero name. If they're going to be out in the streets, let's make sure they've got something good. You know, it took forever for Diggle to become Spartan. And I think part of that was because they didn't quite know what they wanted to do with Diggle. Were they going to try to make him a character that, you know, pre-existed? Were they going to try to make their, you know, do kind of their own, you know, Harley Quinn-esque make our own character, which I'm a huge fan of. I think that's exactly what they need to do, especially in the case of Cecile, if she's going to be in the field. And, you know, I'd rather see her out in the field than just have her standing around telling about, like, how everybody feels.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but at the very least, please just put on a mask.
Put on a mask. That's all. That's all. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good deal. So I will say, man, despite my lackluster thoughts on the fact that it was Frost that ended up biting it and how little that ended up impacting me, there was one thing that actually did. I mean, I choked up for. I mean, like, I'm not kidding at all. I just sincere tears. When I saw Barry doing her bucket list, actually, I found that to be very sweet and emotional. Like, that actually, I don't know why that hit me the way it did.
Yeah.
But I really did, man. I started actually tearing up. And it wasn't because necessarily I missed Frost, but I think I was hurting with Barry, if that makes sense. Like, I was feeling his pain and just that desire, especially when someone dies young, to want to try to live the life that they couldn't, or like live like life for them or something of that nature. That, I don't know, that just kind of hit me a kind of way. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I thought it was really cute. I liked it, you know, because he was sitting there, he was struggling himself on how to, like, properly, you know, mourn her. And what was the term that they used to, like, find a way to honor her, right? And so, you know, doing those things was his kind of, like, sort of almost juvenile attempt to do it before he finally realized what the best way to honor her was. You know, at the end of the episode when he's going to, you know, rally Caitlin, basically.
Yeah. Keep Summer safe, man. You got to keep Summer safe.
Got to keep Summer safe. And I thought it was really neat, especially when he, like, came in on Chester and Allegra with the whitewater rafting gear on.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about the storytelling device they did with just kind of following different characters and the way in which at times their stories interwove, kind of teeing up what came next. Thoughts on that?
Are we talking specifically about Chester and Allegra?
Well, Chester, Allegra, Iris, and Barry, right? Like, we kind of followed each of them as they kind of went through the grieving process.
Iris and Barry totally got theirs. Iris most so, because, you know, she even came out and admitted it. Yeah, I didn't know Frost very well. And, like, I thought what she did was a great way to sort of, like, you know, get other people to know her, because Iris didn't get a chance to really know her. So she's talking to the people that were saved by her to let everyone else know about how good of a person Frost was. And so that totally made sense. And, like, we talked about Barry and doing the bucket list, and Allegra and Chester's, they were getting mad at each other because they were sad about Frost. And so they were, like, yelling at each other about hummus.
Is it a condiment, Belle, or is it a what is your is it a sauce? What do you consider hummus to be?
I would say it's a dip. You dip things in it.
I think it's a side dish. You order it literally as a side dish or an appetizer.
Well, yeah, but like side dishes is a set that contains dips. Dips are side dishes.
Okay, all right, fair enough. I mean, like, but you don't necessarily, do you dip? You kind of scrape sometimes. You can also spread. It's also a spread, Bell.
I think, yeah, those terms are somewhat interchangeable, in my mind at least.
Mm.
A dip, a spread. Because, you can take you know, French onion dip with a knife and spread it on your chip. You don't have to dip it or scrape it in there. You know, it's like,
you monster. Oh, my. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Now we know how you do that. All right.
Are we going to go down the Seinfeld thing? It's like double dip. You don't double dip the chip. You don't double dip the chip.
Yeah. Well, regardless, yes. I liked the storytelling device. This is the way they kind of followed the different characters through their grieving process.
Yeah. The way they did it was neat, and I liked it, like, bouncing back and forth between them, you know, doing this stuff. I just didn't like Chester and Allegra's kind of like, we're mad at each other because we're sad about Frost.
I didn't mind it. For all the stuff that was forced in this episode, that didn't bother me. I thought that seemed very CW. I was fine with that.
Okay, okay. Yeah, it did seem very CW.
It is what it is, yeah.
Yeah, I will say that I was kind of surprised that, Chilblain. I was thinking that they were going to, maybe that Chilblain was going after his, you know, drunken shenanigans, was going to maybe try and like do the hero route to honor Catelyn and sort of be like, hey, look, Flash, if you need, you know, if you guys need help, I want to honor Catelyn that way. I want to honor Frost that way. I want to be a hero like she was. She helped me turn my life around, and I want to honor that by helping other people. So
yeah,
I totally felt like they were going to go that route and to give him, you know, a spot on the team. I don't know if that's going to be the case. It seems like his future is sort of set with this the little teaser at the end that we got with Catelyn. So we'll see what happens there. But I was totally expecting them, or I was really expecting Chilblain to sort of like, you know, offer that to Barry and be like, hey, if you need me, I'm here, kind of thing.
Well, here's the deal. I want to hear from our listeners, man. I want to know what people think. Was this death cheap? Does this feel right? Did it hit you any kind of way? Or, you know, what do you think? Also, especially with a character like Deathstorm, was this right for Killer Frost to be the one to get the kill shot on the Flash for a arc long villain? And, you know, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. We want to hear your thoughts on that and get that. But man, we got one more thing we got to talk about here. We've been alluding to it this entire time. But first, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. More great TV talk up in just a few minutes. But first, we got to pay a few bills. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Speedster speculation.
All right, man. Catelyn Snow. So I gotta tell you, when she was, you know, pulling Chilblain back to her place, I thought they were about to have I thought they were about to have relations with one another. You know, that kind of like the grief, you know, type deal. And I thought that was kind of like the shared grief relation little connection to keep it work safe. I thought that's what was about to go down.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure. Cause she, like seeing her, you know, she's like, we need to talk. And then when she's, you know, walking back with the thing and like their first interaction there, I thought maybe that's what he thought because you could kind of see it on his face. And then you see her and you're like, no, that's not what's happening here. Something weird is going on.
Right. Right. It became clear immediately she was going to start doing some sciencey stuff. Belle, she does immediately as we see her lab, it seems very reminiscent of her father's lab. It seems reminiscent of her mother's lab. She has this desire that she is going to be bringing Frost back. I assume attempting to clone Frost, you know, in some form or fashion.
Yes.
General thoughts. What are your general thoughts?
Okay,
I have several. So go.
Yeah. So as soon as I was when she like the look on her face and the way she said it when she's like, I'm gonna bring Frost back. Okay, then we're getting Killer Frost. We're getting a real legit Killer Frost, and it might be Caitlin. But I feel like it there's going to be something that happens, and we're going to get Frost back, but it's going to actually be Killer Frost, and not this, you know, will she, won't she Killer Frost that we've had in the past. This is going to be the actual villainous Killer Frost, and it might act. I'm thinking it's actually going to be Caitlin Snow, so it's more similar to the comics, right? Like, so I feel like that's where they're going with it. And then the team's going to have to beat Caitlin as Killer Frost, and then maybe they kill her off, and then Danielle's just off the show.
Okay. So I want most of that to be true. And I thought when it was going down, I was like, Oh, is she going to turn herself into Killer Frost now? Like, is out of kind of grief, is she going to, you know, go evil Dr. Mad Scientist person and essentially become the Killer Frost we've always wanted her to be? Or you know, feared that she would become, depending on, you know, what your take is on that. I love that idea. Do you think they'll actually do it though? Like that's the thing. Like you say that that's what they're teeing up. There was kind of a question I had initially, which was, after spending an entire episode of grief, why do they tease us that they're going to bring her back? Because if they were successful at doing so, if she brought Killer Frost, like if she brought Frost back, that would be even more cheap. It would cheapen an already cheap death and make it even more cheap to do so.
Yeah.
However, if this is, as you suspect, the catalyst that creates the actual Killer Frost, where barista Brony, who wiped off the Frost from the board because her mom was like, she wasn't a killer, man. She wouldn't. Her name was Frost. Be cool.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know what? She's pretty great. Let me go ahead and get rid of this killer. Maybe we're going to get the actual Killer Frost, and then she's going to turn herself into a Frost, you know, an ice witch, and she's going to go around like witches do these days and start killing everybody. Abrupt, out of character? Those are questions for the Multiverse of Madness. My main thing is, will it happen, or are they toying with our emotions, Belle? It feels like they're toying with our emotions.
If they bring Frost back and it's regular old plain Frost, yeah, I'm going to be very upset.
I'm done. If they do that, I'm done.
Yeah, but if they give us Killer Frost,
I'm in.
I'm in, but at the same time, I'm going to be, yeah, this is like way out of left field. You should have done this seasons ago, and it feels like extremely rushed and cause like Caitlin, that was a different Caitlin that we saw in that lab. And so that's why I feel like it's going that route. And I'm like, yes, finally you're doing it. That's great.
They could bring Cisco back too. Like, think about it. That could be a big Cisco homecoming when they have to go against like Killer Frost, like the true Killer Frost.
That's what we, you know, that's what we talked about when we were early speculation about
Killer Frost.
Yeah. Yes. That was going to be a Cisco Caitlin arc. And yeah, woo! You know. Yeah. Is it happening this season? Probably not.
Is it happening at all? Probably not. Here's the thing, man. I don't think they're going to do that. So much of this season, the big theme of this season has been grief as a villain, right? Like, mental health has been like the true villain, you know, like when they pull back the mask at the end of the season, it's mental health.
That is the
core theme that has continued to be the theme throughout the season. And so the notion that their grieved friend is going to go crazy and become a killer, I just don't see them going that route. I wish they had gone that route a long time ago, but I just, especially this season, I don't think they're going to go that route. I could be wrong, and I hope I am, because I love your idea. That's what I want too.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I just don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's the thing too, is because we also have something else that needs to be resolved before the season is ended, and that's, you know, Iris. Like,
oh, well, that's where we're heading next week, man. We're going to be going into the Still Forest to figure out what's going on with Iris, and hopefully get a nice resolution to that episode, or to that story arc, or at least potentially just set up where she's going to be over the next couple of weeks. Because, you know, her and Barry have this great loving relationship. It happens off screen, but like it's a love story for the ages. It does happen off screen, so just take our word for it. But it's amazing off screen. So by the way, off screen is where the Flash is the main character of this show.
Yeah.
Ah! All right. Sorry. I'm bitter. I'm jaded and bitter. Anyway, I very much enjoyed the funeral for a friend episode. I very much did not enjoy the fall of Deathstorm, or Death Falls rather. But yeah, overall, we'll see where it all ends up going. We want to hear y'all's thoughts. Is Caitlin going to become the one true Killer Frost? Is that we're going to take her character? Is this another bait and switch? Or a third thing. Let us know. That's what we want to hear. You can tweet into the show at TV Talk FM is the place to do it. You can also write into the show, show at tvtalk.fm. All that information and more can be found at tvtalk.fm. Belle, any final thoughts before we close it down here?
Yeah. I mean, I hope they go the route with Killer Frost. It's been a long time coming, and it's something that we've wanted for a while. Let's just hope they do it right.
we will see, but I'm going to keep on breathing without holding this breath anytime soon. But that's, I'm just old and jaded now. What can I say? All right, so that's going to do it for us for this week. But don't worry, we'll be back in a flash.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.